All right, welcome back to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., where I have the opportunity, the pleasure of speaking with Dr. Dorothy B. Gandy. Dr. Gandy, it's good to have you with us today. How are you doing?
Well, thank you. I'm doing well, and I'm so happy to be here as well.
Appreciate you so much. And yes. I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you, you all are really going to be inspired and empowered today. That's what this is about, my conversation with Dr. Gandy. She is a lady on the move. And in so many ways, I take my hat off to you that you're able to keep it all together. Let me ask you something. What is it about Dr. Gandy that says, I need to be doing all of these things that I'm doing? I've got to be busy.
I've always had the philosophy of what's next. I always get things done, and when I finish with that, I said, okay, now what's next? You've done that. Let's move on to the next thing. And I guess since going out of high school, I just had that philosophy, and I carry that on. I encourage other people to not close a chapter in your life. Just keep going. Move to the next thing.
You know, I'm curious. You mentioned that you discovered that in high school. Did you discover it on your own? Did someone point it out to you first, and then you sat back and thought about it and said, yeah, you're right. I do keep looking for that.
Well, you know, I think what happened, I tell people this all the time, and I joke about it. I wasn't even a year old when my twin brothers were born. So here I was still walking around, moving around, not probably even walking yet in Pampers. And they were born. As a matter of fact, I have a birthday coming up March 13th. They were born March 5th. I hadn't even turned a year old. So I had to start fending for myself. And I think at that young age, I just started doing for me. I was in the back burner. I was on the back burner then, you know. I was put aside. There were three little toddlers moving around. Then I had a sister who was only 18 months old, and there were the four of us, you know, moving around. And I just always decided, you know, and came up with the mindset that I needed to push myself. I needed to be my own motivator. And that's what I've been all these years. I've been just a self-motivator, motivating others, but motivating myself as well.
I like that. And I imagine the fact that you motivate yourself makes it easier for you to understand how to motivate other people.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And sometimes it gets lonely because I said, okay, I'm motivating everybody else. You know, now who's going to push? I would like people to push me to that next level, too.
Yeah.
You know
how
it is. You always want to help and be helped.
Isn't that what life's about?
It is. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's about helping and being helped.
That's awesome. That is so. And I admire you because you're saying to us, I've heard it said that no man, no woman is an island. That's true of me. I am not an island. I need someone.
We all need someone.
Yeah, we all need that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You need me. I need you. But I always say, you be me and allow me to be me.
Yeah. So you're in high school and you're pushing off with what you've been doing for years already.
Exactly. And there were times, you know, when I, you know, kind of got a little complacent and said, okay, I'm going to sit here for a minute. But I think one of the things that really got my career moving was I was sitting in a classroom teaching, and my principal came to me and said, you know, I want you to be my assistant principal. And I said, well, what do I need to do to be that? And he said, well, you'll need your master's degree. And I said, well, I don't even have that. I haven't even thought about doing that. But at that moment, I decided that I would never be called again, offered a position, and not have the credentials to go along with it. Yeah. So I got in my car and ran down to South Carolina State University, registered for school, and the rest is history. So then whenever an opportunity came up, I had the credentials to be able to accept it.
That's awesome. So, and you know what? You're sharing with us the importance of making sure that when destiny arrives, we are ready to meet with it head on.
You need to be ready to move because you don't ever know. You could be in a line in a grocery store and an opportunity presents itself and you want to be ready to grasp it.
And apparently this person saw something in you that said she can do this.
Probably because every time I was asked to take on a task in the school system, I said yes. I was not a person who said, no, I can't do it. I've never been a person either to say, well, I've never done this before. I always tell people, I have friends and people that I mentor to always say, well, you know, I've never done this before. And my thing is, well, before you crawled, you never did that before.
That's right.
We never did anything before until we did it.
Yeah.
And so that's why I get, oh, I never thought about that.
Mm-hmm. And it makes so much sense. It's absolutely true of every one of us. We all ended up doing something we had never done before.
Well, everything you did, you never did it before.
That's right.
Think
the first
it.
Time we picked up a spoon as a child and put the food in our
own. You had never done
own.
It before.
Even though we made a mess, you know.
But you had never done it before.
We had never done it before.
That's
yeah.
right. And so the mistakes that you made, you never made them before. The successes that you had, you never. But everything starts from the beginning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. From the beginning. Well, speaking of the beginning, Dr. Gandy, you have written some books, Caught in the Middle, From Location to Destination. 200 Ways to Look, Feel, and Be Your Best. I like that. And Be Your Best. Mm-hmm. And an 8-piece guide to peace. What got you started in writing?
Well, I've always liked to write. My major was English in school. And but I never grasped the concept that I would write a book one day. And I think when I went through a divorce at the age of about 40, I was young and said, okay, I might be in another relationship at some time in my life. And I started pondering, you know, what makes a good relationship? And I just sat down and drew a pie and said, okay, I'm going to be looking at 8 different pieces. And I started talking to other people about the same thing, about relationships. And people were saying to me, you need to write a book about that. You need to write a book about that. And I put it on the back burner for 10 years. I ended up, you know, going through my career as a principal and then going to the university, Troy University, working there for 10 years. And after that, I decided, okay, now I'm going to write that book. And I sat down, stopped, and I wrote the book, An 8-Piece Guide to Peace. And I'm talking about 8 different pieces that anybody in any relationship, whether it's a friendship, a spousal relationship, work relationship, I thought there were 8 things that we need to have ourselves fixed on in order to be a good fit for anybody in a relationship. So that's why how I came up with an 8-piece guide to peace.
So share with us a couple of the pieces.
All right, those 8 pieces, I started with the physical. You know, I'm talking about now when you're meeting someone. I thought about the physical. I said, okay, if I'm going to meet somebody, the first thing has to be there is the appeal. You know, I want somebody, you know, that I'm comfortable in being with inside and out. And physical doesn't necessarily mean just how you look. It's how you are inside as well. So I said, okay, the physical, that's important. And another piece I thought was very important would be the spiritual. Because I said, okay, I am a spiritual person. I believe in God. I know that there is a God. And I want someone else who believes in God, who is a believer. And so if I were to meet somebody and the first thing they said, oh, I don't believe in God, but then I knew that that person would not be a right fit yeah. for me. And then I looked at the emotional part. Everybody wants to be in a good, emotionally comfortable relationship. Yeah. And I said, okay, I'm going to make sure that the emotional piece is there. And then I looked at the social and the financial and the intellectual. And I thought that all those pieces would fit together to make for a good, wholesome relationship. And they don't only apply in spousal relationships, you know, even with friendships. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're in a friendship with a person, if I'm in a friendship with one of my girlfriends and we just don't click emotionally or socially, you know, we have different ideas on what we should do socially, then that wouldn't be a good fit for me in a relationship. But the whole concept is, while you're looking for the right relationship, people are looking for the right relationship in you as well. So even though yeah. you are looking at you, you're looking at me as well. Mm-hmm. So you have to fix yourself, too. You can't yeah. just think that person has to be the right person. You got to make sure that you are the right fit as well.
I love that. And the time for us to start working on me is before we meet this other person.
Exactly. That is exactly right. You need to analyze yourself, look at you, and before you step out there, okay, what baggage am I taking to a relationship?
Yeah.
You know, what's going on inside of me that I need to fix in order to have a good, wholesome, healthy relationship?
Mm-hmm. And so an 8-piece guide to peace, searching yourself and discovering others.
Yeah. And you see, that's what it says, searching you
yeah.
while discovering others. And others are going to be looking at you as well as you looking at them.
Yeah.
yeah.
And I think I love that approach, Dr. Gandy, because so often we do kind of get tunnel vision and we're thinking about what we want the other person to be to us.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not thinking about what we should be to the other
to
person.
To the other person. And they go hand in hand.
Yeah.
You know, I can't expect someone to give all to me when I'm not giving of me.
Because when we do it that way, we're really kind of setting the relationship up for failure, would you say?
Yes. We're setting it up for failure because we are thinking that it's all about us, and it's not all about us.
Wow. Yeah.
It's a partnership. It's a relationship. That's why the word relationship comes in. It's a mm-hmm. relationship.
Our guest is Dr. Dorothy B. Gandy. She and I will be back in just a few. Stay with us. Forward thinking. That's been part of the program Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. from the beginning. We bring programming that is innovative.